eyes on the sparrow. Flip my diamonds, Pharaoh. Pray for straight and narrow.
Yo, what's going on, guys? It's another episode of Og Talk. And today, on our Foundations of Faith and Manhood series, we're talking about cultivating discipline and focus as a man. Of course, it's me, Freddie, and we got
your boy, AWG Journey, or Demetrio.
Got TJ in the building, man. You know what it is.
All right, so I hope everybody's having a good day today. It's a good day to be a buck. No, I'm playing. It's a good day, guys. So I go over my recap for the week. I guess I got my first paycheck. That's always a good blessing. I've been working at my new job for about 3 weeks now of the time of this recording, and I'm a server. So I mean, I used to work at a country club, and I was a food runner, but now since I'm a server, it's a little bit different. But I guess it's a little easier because it's not as fast paced as the country club. So, but that's how I'm going so far.
Yeah, man. So it's your boy AWG Journey. I've had the worst week, 2 weeks. So at first my car radiator popped or busted, whatever. And my coolant was leaking out, and I went to go pick up TJ from school. My car turned off. I turned it back on. We got all the way back to the house.
Go in depth.
Okay, so I'm going to go in depth. So
about you picking me up.
Right, so this is what happened, right? So
it's already hot.
I dropped TJ off from school. And as I'm dropping him off from school on my way back, my car's getting hot. I drive home. I completely forget about it. I need to go pick up TJ. So I get in my car. I go pick up TJ. As I'm on my way there, it's starting to get hot again. I'm like, what is this? Why is my car getting hot? So then I go to pick him up. As I'm in front of the school, my car turns off. I turn it back on. I'm like, all right, we got to hurry up and get to the house. I get out the driveway. I'm driving. It's starting to get worse. So I pull over to Chick-fil-A. We're chilling at Chick-fil-A. I'm trying to find somebody. So first I'm thinking, all right, it's the coolant. I'm going to put some water in it and, you know, antifreeze. I'm going to put some water in the antifreeze tank, get to the house so it'll cool off a little bit. I put some water in the antifreeze tank. I try to start my car, my battery's dead. As my battery's dead, I'm like, dang, I got cables, but I don't got nobody to jump me off. So I'm asking customers, like, hey, can you jump me off? This dude, I'm mad right now, because low-key, I'm black. It was this black dude. I'm asking him, like, hey, yo, can you jump me off? He's like, I ain't got no cables. I got cables. You don't even got to get out the car. You could just pull up. I could do it. We don't got to worry about nothing. You don't even got to get out the car. He's like, nah, I can't do that for you. So I'm like, all right. I asked this woman. She went ahead and did it for me, but her cables or her battery, whatever, it wasn't working. So I asked one more guy, and he's like, yeah, I got you. He was a barber. He was in high school. He, you know, whatever the case may be. So he jumps off my car. As he jumps off my car, I'm thinking my car's going to be fine because I put water in the tank. Well, everything's running out of the antifreeze tank. So even the water that I put in there, it's flooding out. I finally get my car to turn on. We drive to the house, and as I'm pulling in the parking lot, well, as I'm parking my car, it completely shuts off. Like, there's no, it did it again. So,
died.
Nope. Yeah, just died. So I pull in my parking.
As we're
parking. Like,
as well, like, ain't nothing but God right there, like, pulling, bro, making you get home safe.
In the parking spot, pulling, like, in, didn't even put the car in park.
Died. Just straight died. So then my dad's like, yeah, it's probably your radiator. I'm like, I bet. I buy a radiator. It was like $85, $90. And then my dad, we waited a whole week for it to come. Then doesn't come. It comes 2-3 days late. He finally gets to where we live in San Marcos. We're from Fort Worth, so it took him like 4 hours to get here. He gets here at like 11 o'clock, puts the radiator in. We try to turn on my car. My car sounds like a diesel truck. I have a 2014 Impala LT. It should not sound like a diesel truck. So then my dad's like, maybe it'll fix itself, try to drive it around. As I try to pull out the parking lot and drive off even 2 feet, it turns off again. So then my dad's like, yeah, man, you just got to get a new car or you get a new motor. But realistically, we're like, we're probably going to get a new car. Then I'm like, I bet. So I eat that. I'm like, I got to get a new car. Cool, whatever. Then 2 days later, so when we first moved here, a couple weeks in, I accidentally ran over my phone. I went to a gas station.
I didn't even know this part.
I went to a gas station. I had pajama pants on. Y'all know how pajama pants are. You really don't know what's dropping or falling out your pockets. So I go to the gas station. I go in there. I get whatever I needed from the gas station, and I get to my car. I guess my phone falls out my pocket as I'm getting in the car, but I didn't realize. So I'm pulling. I pull back because I got to get gas. I'm in the front. I pull back to a gas station, and my music is cutting out. I'm like, why is my music cutting out? So I think to myself, oh, I must have left my phone inside the gas station. So I run past my phone on the floor into the gas station, and I'm like, where's my phone? Ain't no way somebody just stole my phone. So then I look down as I'm walking out the gas station, and it's there. I'm like, okay, well, my music. So as I pull back to the gas station or to the gas pump, my music starts to cut out and then stops. So I'm like, damn, what the hell? So then I go.
What's your language there?
My fault. Then I go and pick up my phone. I'm like, okay, it's not turning on. I'm like, dang. I take it to a phone spot. They say it's the battery in the screen. I'm like, I bet. Put the battery in the screen in there. It was like $300 and something. I fix it. 2 weeks later, my phone is stuck at the Apple logo. It's turning on, but turning off. Turning on, but turning off. I take it back to the same man that put the battery in it. He says it's the battery again. I said, okay, bet. I pay him. He was going to charge me $75, but he charged me $30. And give us 2 seconds. We're going to pause the podcast for 2 seconds. So we're back. My mother had called me. With all this explaining to do, it kind of involves it. But so I was at the part where I paid for the new battery. They were going to charge me $75, but they actually charged me $30 because I kind of got a little angry at them. We had a little argument. I was like, hey, man, you said that this battery is going to be good for 2 years and it's not. So what's going on? So then he fixes my battery. I take it home. Frederick said, hey, you might have busted the battery because you let it on the charger too long. You know, when your phone goes to 100% and you continuously charge it, you might blow the battery. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to let it die tonight and I'm just going to charge it in the morning so that nothing happens like that. Well, I let it die and it never turned back on. So right now I don't have a phone. I don't have a car. I didn't have a job, but by the grace of God, I got a job today, and I should be getting a new 16 Plus today. So I got a job and a phone today, and the same thing. I just got to get a new phone.
In this episode, I don't know why there is a fuzz, but there will be a fuzz in this episode.
Yeah, I hear the fuzz.
I hear too. The fuzz, but I don't know why it's there.
I don't think it'll be there in this.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to pop up.
Wait. Okay, so just be quiet real quick.
Nah, I already seen it. It's not going to.
You go see it on the computer.
Nah, it's there.
Okay, whatever. About the fuzz. We're gonna fix it later. You know, we do this live, Gengi. So, I had an eventful week. I should be getting my new phone today. I got a new job today, and I need to get a new car soon. But for right now, we're all right. Guy, you know, he does wonders. I got a job. I should be getting my new phone, and everything should be good. So that was my recap of the week.
What about yours? Let's see. Where do I want to start? I'll start from Monday. It was fine. You know, my girlfriend came out here and visited me. You know, she's still out here with me, spending time with me. I had a pretty dry week. Not gonna
lie. You had a dry week. It's all right. I didn't really do much. And we can get to the main topic.
Anything actually happened? Like, I don't think anything actually struck. No, not this week. Yeah.
So we didn't really have a pretty eventful week, but we had a couple things going.
We had that one girl last night.
I'm going to explain
it. Yeah,
a situation real quick. So we live in apartments that are for schooling, but it's not on campus. And the apartments that we have, they're kind of confusing. It's like a maze, honestly. Like, if you don't know where you're going or you're coming to visit a friend, you're going to get confused. And on top of that, we kind of have all the same addresses. So, like, if you put in an address, it's going to bring you to a certain point. It's not going to bring you to the house unless you have, like, a certain pin or something like that.
Yeah, unless
you
have a pin, yeah.
So, me and Frederick are walking the dogs. We got Cash. We got Kenji. We're walking the dogs. We let them go poop. We let them go pee. And now we're just taking them on a walk to get their energy out. We see one of our good friends named Max. He has two golden. No, it's one golden.
He has one golden, but his mom was there, so there was another golden there as well.
Yes, and a great Pyrenees. But so we're chopping it up with our friend. You know, we're walking the dogs. We see him. We're chopping it up with him. He's helping his mom move in, but like she's gonna be here for a weekend or something like that. So he's putting stuff in the house. And this is girl that like runs past us.
Yeah, she's like crying. Yeah, she's like frantic. She has this pace. She's running. She's going back and forth. She's not running, but you know, whenever somebody's like, she's just pacing.
Like
very
she's frantically
fast.
Pacing back and forth. So, like she ran past us, crying and stuff like that. But you know, she could have been. It could have been a heartbroken. It could have been a car crash. Like we didn't know, so we didn't really pay attention. But then as we come back, or as we're just sitting with Max, she comes back and says, "Hey. Did you see any clothes on the floor or anything like that?" I'm like, "No, we kind of just got out here." She's like frantically trying to explain to me. So I'm going to try to explain it to y'all. So basically, this is what happened. She's from Houston. Well, this is what I think would happen. I know some facts and some aren't, but this is what I think from what she explained to me. She's from Houston. She was with a couple friends at a bar. I guess she decided to leave the bar to go to a different friend's house. I guess two friends live in our apartment at the time. So she pulls up. She goes the wrong way. She gets the wrong address, so she goes to the wrong apartment. She has a whole bunch of bags, suitcases, and stuff like that. But I guess she was holding a whole bunch of stuff because she went to the wrong place. She walks to the right place, but she's dropping stuff as she's going.
Because her backpack is open, and she doesn't realize that her backpack is open.
Yeah, so her back, her suitcase wasn't like, you know how girls' suitcases are not a full suitcase, but it's a bag. So she says that she's dropping, you know, stuff on the floor. So I'm like, yeah, me and Frederick will help. We were already walking the dogs. We might as well just walk around and see if we can see any type of clothing on the floor. Because from my perspective, right, if you're dropping clothes on the floor, it's not going to just be one to two shirts. It's going to be like outfits on top of outfits. It's going to be bra, clothes, you know, anything that can resemblance her clothes. So we're walking around.
We
don't
check
see
the
nothing.
Whole apartment.
We get like, to the point where we're like, all right, forget this. We put the dogs in the house. We get in the car, and now we're driving through the entire apartment to see if we can find this girl's clothes. We see nothing. So Frederick just got off of work. He works as a we both work at a restaurant.
Yeah.
He has tips. He says, all right, I'm finna go to the bank. He goes to the bank. He calls me on Discord because I don't have a phone right now. I'm on my PC. He calls me on Discord and goes, hey, I figured out what happened. I'm like, what's up? So we have this group meet in our apartment complex where everybody's in. And I told him while we were looking for the clothes, hey, text a group meet to see if anybody has saw anything. Well, he didn't. And as he was coming back from the bank, we kind of got the whole gist. So what happened was this girl was dropping clothes as she was walking to her friend's place.
And somebody was right behind her taking the clothes.
They're
like
ooh, piece of candy.
Literally, like right behind her, not caring at all. Like
so
it
then,
was crazy.
So then she turns around because, from my perspective, right, what I'm thinking is, how do you not like if you're going to the wrong place or something like that? How that's what the fuzz was. Cool. Okay. Cool. It was an extra mic. Whatever. Hopefully it.
All right. So 12 minutes in, we're good.
We're good. We should be good.
Sorry, guys.
We should put.
I should have thought of it earlier.
Yeah, we would probably just put like a disclaimer, like, "Hey, fuzz comes off at 12 minutes." So this is what happened. She apparently, from my perspective, right? I'm like, okay, if you're dropping clothes, if you're dropping something, or if you even went to the wrong place, you're gonna eventually turn around once to see, like, dang, where am I going? Well, this is what happened. She turns around. And apparently there's a girl right behind her picking her clothes up. She goes, hey, that's mine. And the girl just dips. She just straight sprints away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you didn't run after her. You didn't do anything. You just watched her.
Just watched her take your stuff, bro.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
No, it's actually crazy. Hold on. We got another pause. No.
Okay. So, yeah. Basically, this girl, she turns around. She sees that her clothes is being picked up by a girl. And the girl just runs away. She doesn't chase her. She doesn't do anything. Why I'm a little confused is because she
straight
didn't
robbed
one, she
gang.
Didn't tell us that she saw anybody. I'm not sure if she found the clothes and then saw someone picking them up or ran away, or when she was walking and then turned around and saw somebody, but she didn't tell us that she saw nobody take her clothes.
Nothing.
So me and Frederick are walking around blamelessly just looking for clothes that aren't there. Like, how are you gonna ask us to help you look for something that you know just got stolen? Like, you just saw it got
like
stolen.
It
why
crazy.
Are we even looking? So that was a little
but
that
as
was
men
a little crazy
what
situation.
Do we do
but yeah as men we took
we
out
do?
The time we took at least like an hour out
nah,
to go help
that,
her.
Like literally but all right so now we're gonna scroll past all that was the recap. Yeah, it was pretty intense recap this week. But now we're gonna jump into the main topic, which is, what is discipline from a faith's perspective? Does anyone want to go with their own definition before we get into what
so
the Bible says?
I'd say faith is faith.
Yeah. Well, what is discipline from a faith perspective?
Okay. So what is discipline from a faith perspective? So from my personal thoughts, I think discipline and faith go hand in hand. You can't have discipline if you don't know. Okay. So let's say this, right? Let's say that I get up in the morning. I'm supposed to go brush my teeth. I'm supposed to wash my face, take a shower, get dressed, do the things that people know they're supposed to do every day. Discipline is knowing, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do these things, even though I'm tired, even though I don't feel good, even though I'm sick, I'm still going to do it. That's discipline. Now we got to put what faith is. Faith is understanding that God knows that he only wants the best for us. He only wants good, love, humility, the better things. No evil, no hate, he doesn't want you to suffer constantly. So when we bring discipline within faith, it's basically saying, okay, I have the discipline to understand that I need to do what I need to do. And I have the faith to know that if I do the things that I do need to do, that God will provide for me. So let's give this an example, right? There was this guy named Fousey. Obviously, it's a weird example, but this guy named Fousey too. He basically said, if you're scared to spend your money, that means you're not doing good things with your money. If you're buying something for a friend, or you're doing something for someone, or you're giving a homeless person money, if you don't do those things, you're basically telling God you didn't give me enough to do good things with it, so he shouldn't give you any more.
Ooh.
Now, if you do good things, such as buy things for your friends, give homeless people money, help people out when they need it, God knows and sees that, okay, I gave him this money and he's doing good things with it, I'm obviously going to give him more.
Yeah, I would definitely say mine is, I guess it definitely go along the lines of that, because if you have faith with discipline, if you're combining those two things together, it's kind of like, if I know and put my faith in God to do the things that he says for me to do, is like not watch pornography, not talk to multiple girls,
be sober-minded,
be all of those things. If I do the discipline to not do those things, my faith comes in because I'm doing those things because, one, I know that I'll be rewarded in heaven, and two, I know that he wants better for me. That's where the faith comes in, because with my faith, I know that I'm going to do those things. And that's why I feel like discipline comes in, because I feel like if you are a follower of Jesus, you have to be a disciplined person, because all of the things that are in the Bible are typically against the flesh, and you deciding to put down the flesh is discipline. You can't just put down the flesh and naturally. The flesh is going to naturally go against everything that God says, because that's what the devil uses to get you to do bad things.
Like, your body wants to have sex. Your body wants to eat food whenever it wants to eat. Your body, if it enjoys, you know, drinking or smoking, it's going to want to do that a lot. Your body obviously doesn't want to, you know, fast. Your body obviously doesn't want to, when you're in this generation, we're so caught up in being attention seeking. Like, we're always on TikTok. We're always on Instagram. We're always scrolling. Your body is naturally like, I want to do fun things. But the discipline and the faith comes in where, okay, I know that I'm supposed to be a good person, a good-minded person, and just an overall good person. If I'm not that good person, then I should know that God is not going to give me the things that I ask for. See, most of the time people are like, hey, God, can I have a new car? Hey, God, can I have a better family? Hey, God, can I have more money? But then they don't do the things. So let me give an example real quick. Let's say I smoke, right? And I'm very, very obsessed with smoking. And I constantly smoke. But I still do good things. I'm still a good person. I'm still a good man. I just smoke. God understands that, hey, you like this. You enjoy this. But there's something that you're not supposed to do. If I take that sacrifice and say, okay, I'm not going to smoke anymore. I'm going to deal with whatever consequences that I got to deal with. God would reward you with that, and that's where your faith comes in. The discipline comes in where it says, like, okay, I'm not going to smoke anymore. I'm going to deal with whatever I got to deal with. The faith comes in is where, okay, if I don't smoke and I deal with the consequences, God is going to reward me for sacrificing that thing. It doesn't matter if it's smoking, drinking, sex, you know, scrolling. It doesn't matter what it is. You're going to be rewarded. Like, I had stopped smoking for, like, I think a good day. The second day, I had I got my hair done, and my hairstylist had offered me some weed. I took it. I broke my promise to God. And honestly, my car got broke. My phone broke. I ain't had no job. And then I prayed to God. I asked him, like, what does he really want me to do? I did the things that he wanted me to do. So I got a job. I should be getting a new phone today. And hopefully in a couple of weeks or a month, I can get a new car. God will show you that, hey, if you have that discipline, I will reward you. If you don't have discipline, then I will give you to your flesh.
Yeah, so definitely there was something that I wasn't giving up, and I just kept doing it. I kept doing it, and I just didn't want to give it up at first.
But also, it's not that you didn't want to give it up. It's that you didn't think that was the problem.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, it's like it's like when I went to church, and they were like, you need to give up something. You need to cut ties with something. And that immediately is what popped in my head. But since
you tried to give something else.
Yeah. It's like, oh, the biggest thing that we've been learning thing, at yeah. church is like, it's like, okay, God, well, maybe I can give you this. And
you just leave this alone.
And leave this alone. But I give you this. Yeah.
Like, okay. I'll stop smoking. Right. But I'm going to drink on the side because I'm trying to stop smoking. So I'm going to drink.
I'm going to. No. It's like, okay, I'll stop smoking weed. But, you know, I'll do nicotine.
Yeah, something small. Like you'd be like, okay, I want to stop eating a whole bunch of food, but yet you're steady eating snacks here and there. You're like,
I'll stop eating candy, but I'll still keep eating a whole bunch of chicken. Like,
nah, for real. Like, you stop eating candy, you're like, God wants you to stop being gluttonous. So you're like, yeah, I'm gonna stop eating candy, but I'm still gonna eat five times a day.
Literally. So, but whenever I was like, okay, God, you know what? I'm gonna just do you and just
I'm gonna do
whatever.
I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to do what you want me to do,
and I'm not going to modify it the way I want to modify it. And once I did that, got a job off the back, was able to pay my phone bill, was able to do it. It's like, and it's not like he just gives you a lump sum of cash to do it. No, it's like he gives you the things that you need in the situation to solve the problem.
Like they always say, God will never give you anything you can't handle. Right now, you know, I got rent. I ain't got no job. Well, I do now, but I don't have a job, car, or phone. He took everything away from me. I didn't sit up and say, oh, God, why'd you do this? And, oh, God, I hate you. And, God, why are you allowing this to happen? I'm just like, okay, I got to deal with what I got to deal with. The discipline was having faith to know, I know God is not going to harm me. So I'm going to put myself in a position where I'm doing better. I'm going closer to him. I'm reading my word. And as long as I focus, see, the main thing about a lot of things is focusing on God.
Yeah,
there's
sometimes
so many things to focus on in this world, but if you focus on God, you will be rewarded.
So definitely from what I was telling him from his situation is it was a big, big thing of God, I want you in my life. So God was like, okay, and he wasn't listening. But since he had allowed God into his life, God was beginning to take things away from him because he allowed him to do that. And then whenever he was taking all those things away, he wasn't hardened at heart. He was like, okay, there's something I'm doing wrong.
Exactly.
There's something I need to figure out. There's something that I need to build. There's something that God is trying to show me, because it's not like he was like, oh yeah, God, why are you doing this? This is not. He had first asked God for help. So God was like, okay, I need to take your phone away. I need to take your car away. I need to take these things away from you so you can realize
where is your faith,
one, and two, what you're struggling with and what you need to give up. I'm going to eliminate all of these distractions for you so you can focus on me. And once he focused on him, then God was like, okay, look, now you're focusing on me. Now you know what's most important right now. Now that you're focused on me, I'm going to start giving you things back in a needs basis.
Yeah,
you like have a job. Now you have a phone. I'm exactly. going to give you these things back.
I didn't
back.
Do the things my way. I didn't go, oh, I don't got a job, phone, car. I'm going to go figure it out. I'm gonna go do this, 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 and this. I was like, nah, I'm going to wait. I'm going to figure out. Hopefully God's going
to. I'm going to pray. It's yeah. like, it's once you begin to not like try and figure things out yourself, obviously it doesn't mean like just sit on the couch and be a bum and don't do anything. But it's like, if I sit down and wait and realize the things that are happening, obviously I'm going to still do my due diligence of trying to find a job, like things and like trying the, to yeah, find like that stuff. Said. I'm still going to do those things.
Like, I'm going to get a job, then I'm going to pray about it.
I'm gonna try to get a phone. Then I'm gonna pray.
You pray about everything, and you're like, God, do you need me to do this? Like, God, what? How do I get my phone? How do I do this?
And also, you gotta understand, sometimes the answer is no.
Like, yeah.
Sometimes that's the hardest thing. That's the hardest thing. It's like, hey, God, can I get a new car? No. And there's no compromise. It's no nothing. It's just straight no, because at the time you don't even. So when I was 16 and 15, I constantly told my parents, hey, I want a Camaro. I want a Camaro, Camaro. And my parents are like, why? Like, it's your first car. You're not going to really know what to do with it. You're probably going to mess it up. Why don't you just get a normal car? And I constantly kept telling them, hey, I want this, this, this. Now, the car that I do have, it's all messed up. You know why? Because it was my first car. It wasn't like, it wasn't that I was immature or I was this or that. It was genuinely just my first car. I didn't know how to keep it up. I didn't know how to deal with it. So when it becomes a you or God thing, it's like, okay, I ain't got no car. I'm going to go try to buy a car. Well, if that doesn't work, you go try to buy another car. That doesn't work. And it's like, okay, well, what? It's not working. Why is it not working? Because you're not focusing on God. God, there's this crazy thing, right? So when I needed a car, or I was looking to buy a car before I got this car that just went out, I couldn't find any cars, nothing. I was looking on Facebook Marketplace. I was looking everywhere. I could not find a car. I searched for at least a week. Every single day I'm on Facebook Marketplace. I'm praying. For some reason, somehow, a random 2014 Impala LT pops up for, I think, like $1,700. There's not, if you look up a 2014 Impala LT right now, there's no cars for $1,700.
It was a good car, too.
It's the car lasted me this long.
It was a really good
car. It's been like 5 to 6 years.
Yeah, it was a really good car.
It lasted me really long. There's not one 2014 Impala LT for $1,700 on the market ever. God gave me that car. There's no way that I believe anything else.
Yeah, so it's definitely like that's, and that is how your faith plays a role in being disciplined. That's where it happens. But so we're going to move on to the next thing, right? In this day and age, the challenges of being disciplined, they're very bad, okay? Because modern day society is immediate gratification for pleasure instead of being disciplined. Oh, yeah. I don't want to go to the gym. I just want to take a pill and get skinny.
Ozempic.
Like, it's like, I want to do stuff. Oh, I want to get rich off the back, but I want to be disciplined to do it. So I'm going to try to scam people. There's a lot of discipline is gone from the world.
And you know why that is, though? The reason why I feel like a lot of discipline is gone from the world is because there's not one truth anymore.
No.
It's subjective. Everything is subjective. I could be 200-400 pounds, but what is it?
I'm not fat.
My hernia, my disc, my bones. Like, bro, it's simple. It's either you count your calories and you lose weight, or you count your calories and you gain weight, or you don't. There is no, oh, well, I got a hernia, so my hernia makes it to where I can't. No, bro, like, it's discipline. Discipline is the complete word of every single thing.
Yeah, and if you're gonna follow God, you need to be disciplined. So, I got a question for all of y'all. Oh, lights went out. Okay, I got a question for all of y'all. What do y'all think in today's society is the most is the most challenging whenever it comes to staying disciplined?
We're gonna give y'all ours. So, what's yours, Frederick?
Definitely, mine, I guess, would definitely be. I would say for me personally, that I see is the gym. A lot of people don't see results immediately, and they're just like, oh, I just can't be built this way. Oh, yeah, I have depression. Oh, yeah, I have this, this, and this, so I can't go to the gym. And the reason why I say
gym cures depression.
That's
not for real,
though. It does. And it's like a lot of people, well, one,
they want the results before the work.
They want the results so quickly. And what I say about staying disciplined is it's just like faith, right? You're working towards something unseen. So it's like, if I want to be a physical figure and I want to look really good, and I want my body to be masculine strong, and I'm at the gym, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be an overnight thing. That's what people don't realize. It's like, oh,
some
yeah.
Some people don't get, you know, in shape for about 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, man, this guy got in shape freaking 2 days while it's taking like 5 weeks for me to get in shape.
That's another thing. It's the what's the word for
comparison
it? Comparison to others. When you're comparing yourself, you don't see the person's work. Like, I'm very, very good at FPS's game. If y'all don't know what that means first-person shooter. That means, like, Call of Duty, Apex, Halo, like, those type of games. I'm really good at those games. And, you know, my cousin TJ and my cousin Frederick, they're always like, hey, why are you so good at these games? Like, I'm trying to get good. I'm trying to play them, but I can't. Like, I'm good. I'm decent, but I'm just not as good as you. That's because for about 5 years, I was constantly only playing Call of Duty. Just straight Call of Duty, straight every single day, getting out of school, going to play Call of Duty, play. That's called work. You can't do anything without work. People see me or they see how I look or they, like, I'm 6'4", 120 pounds. I'm supposed to be like 200, well, not 120. 120 is way too low. 150, 160. Like, I'm like 150, 160.
At that point, the wind's blowing you away.
At that point, I'm anorexic. But yeah, I'm like, I'm 6'4", 120, I mean, 150, 160. I'm supposed to be 200 pounds. That's a problem. I know it's a problem, and I'm actively trying to count my calories. I'm actively trying to eat healthier foods, work out.
Kiwis, man.
No, what's them kiwis called?
Golden kiwis, dog.
Them golden kiwis. If you've never had golden kiwis, I highly recommend you go. Go to any Walmart, HEB, whatever the case may be. They're called Sun Gold Kiwis. They're probably my favorite strawberry. My favorite fruit is strawberry. They've definitely come to the top five because I've never really liked kiwis, but Sun Gold Kiwis are the best,
But yeah, he's definitely right there. No matter what it is, it's gonna take work and it's gonna take discipline for that work. Now there are some people that are naturally good at things, but the person that's naturally good at things will be overbeat by the person that works every single day for it. It's just like football, right? The people that are best at football are who? The ones that get up at like 4 a.m. and they practice outside of normal practice. The people that are practicing when other people aren't looking. That's being disciplined. I'm going to the gym whenever other people aren't going to the gym. I'm being better whenever other people aren't being better.
That's how you get to the top.
That's how you get to the top. And being a man, you need to be disciplined to be able to do the things that you're supposed to do no matter what. You need to get up in the morning and get everything done. You need to get up in the morning and
discipline is the overall of everything.
You can't just be like, I'm a strong man and then provide for your family one day and not the other.
Or you can't just say, I want to be a strong man and do nothing to become the strong man.
Yeah. So
like everyone's like, I want to be rich. I want to have a lot of material things. I want to have a big family that loves me, that loves everybody else.
But I'm going to just sit here and work at McDonald's. But
I'm just going to sit here and work at McDonald's. I'm not going to try to make a business. I'm not going to try to build myself to be a becoming man. I'm not going to try to build myself to be stronger. I'm not going to try to make myself more attractive so I can get a wife and have kids. Like, no, I'm going to sit on the couch and watch Dragon Ball Z.
If they don't like me for me, then it is what it is. But it's like, no, you still have work to do to make yourself a better person. Like, you still... like, not everyone starts off at the top. And even the people that do start off at the top, if they don't keep the work to stay at the top, then they fall to the bottom. Like, it's just, that's just how it is. And you just need to stay disciplined. So I would, like I said, my main one is the gym. A lot of people don't want to stay disciplined in the gym. And some people may ask me, like, dang, you got really big arms. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, dang, like you just naturally like that because I'm black. I'm like, no, that's not a fact. That's not true. It's like,
let me speak on this real quick. I was a football player from 7th grade to 12th grade. I worked out from 7th grade to 12th grade, but it wasn't like a consistent workout, consistent counting the calories, none of that. So I was a lot smaller than I was now. Obviously, I built up a little bit of muscle for now, but Frederick did not used to be bigger than me. Frederick used to be way smaller than me. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm playing football. I'm doing all these sports. There's no way Frederick's going to randomly become bigger than me out of nowhere. Well, Frederick was working behind the scenes. He was eating the right foods. He was doing the things that I wasn't. I was playing football thinking I'm one of the varsity players or what, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, yeah, I don't really got to go to practice. Yeah, I don't really got to work out during the summers. Yeah, I don't really got to do these things. And it just so happened to be when he was working behind the scenes, I wasn't. He became bigger than me. There was no, he just popped up and got 20% BPI. Like, no, he worked for that. He ate chicken. He worked on the back ends. He worked during summers. He did track. He did sports. Like, he did things that he was supposed to do. And God gave him what he wanted.
Yeah, so it's a bigger body, bigger muscles. It's just what you do need to do is be disciplined. That's really it. So my main one is working out. What's yours?
Yeah, so it was, what was the question again, specifically?
It's what in this common society does it like?
Oh, okay. I say temporary pleasure. So in this world, everyone wants the temporary pleasure. They want the good-looking guy, good-looking girl. They want the nice cars and nice clothes. They want a nice house. They want things that are going to pleasure them and a good amount of time. Like, you could be pleasured for 2 to 3 months. Oh, I got this nice Hellcat. I'm happy. I'm driving the Hellcat. I'm good. But then it gets to a point where, okay, I got the Hellcat, but I'm paying $1,000 a month and I really can't pay it. You're being pleasured by that Hellcat, but you're also putting yourself in a bad position. Like, I'm not in a relationship right now. The reason why I'm not in a relationship is because I want to build myself to become a better man. I want to build myself to the person that I know can be a leader. I can be followed, and I could have, you know, a great family that could, you know, can count on me. I'm not going to be the type of person that's like, all right, I'm just going to sit here, not do much. Basically, I'm just going to work a job, pay my bills. Working a job, paying your bills is not going to work. You're going to have to do things that you don't like. When you're doing temporary pleasure, that's like drinking, going out every weekend. Why are you going out every weekend? You're not getting anything from that except temporary pleasure. You're not going to be able to sustain any business. You might not going to be able to sustain any friendships because your friends are probably working while you're going out. You might get blackout drunk, not even remember anything. Like, going out, smoking, having sex, all these temporary pleasures are only temporary. When you go and you die and you have to face that judgment, it depends on what you did on this earth, on this life. So if I go and I'm like, I'm just going to smoke. I'm never going to stop smoking. I'm going to drink. I'm going to go out. I'm going to have sex with every girl that I want to. And then I go to heaven and God's like, hey, I never knew you, man. Depart from me. Now, where are all those temporary pleasures? You have none. God says that if you are disciplined in the words that I give you, then you will have eternal life in heaven. Well, eternal means forever. Like, that means you will literally never stop. So it was this quote that Pastor Sean, I think, said. He was basically saying, you work and you strive to become a businessman or this and this and that for 20 years in school, for 6 years to, you know, actually get yourself together. How many years are you actually training for heaven? How many years are you putting in to know, okay, well, I know I'm going to see my family. I know I'm going to have the house I want. I know I'm going to have the car I want. You're going to have everything you want in heaven. So why are you focusing on the temporary pleasures when you could be focusing on forever pleasures? And that's kind of what I have, is the temporary pleasures.
What about you, TJ?
What's my temporary pleasure?
No, what is...
Give him the question again.
Yeah, what is, in today's society, what is made to be, like, gratified immediately? And what makes you feel good immediately?
What's something that people in the world are glorifying instead of God? So, like, you know, fame. Cars, clothes. You said what?
Fame.
Fame is a good one.
I mean, how do I? Okay. Really, earlier I wanted to say something about what we were talking about, people wanting to be like others and stuff like that. So, me personally, I was heavily influenced from people with fame and money and doing stuff I seen that I wanted to do. I was young. I see a dude with dreads. I got the dreads now with big gold chains. I don't got the gold chains yet, but I'm seeing girls on them, money with them, all of this stuff. That's the only thing going through my brain the whole time. Ooh, I want to be like so-and-so. Ooh, I want to be like so-and-so. See somebody else new come up. Snoop came out of nowhere. He got more money than this dude. How? I want to be like him now. That's real, really consistent, like, from where I'm from. Like, you can ask anybody on the block. Everybody want to be like somebody. Somebody might want to be like the same person as you. And that person might be closer to that person than you. So you want to be like that person. And this person is just like you. Y'all come from the same place. It's nothing different. He's also putting up an act that you're putting up, and you just don't know because everybody trying to impress each other.
Yeah, that's valid.
Very true.
But yeah,
I definitely I definitely get that one because so many people are just like. So it's like, oh yeah, for let's go example with houses, right? You'll see somebody on YouTube with a really big house. You'll be like, oh yeah, I want to be like that person. I want to have this, this, and this, and this.
Even cars and clothes.
Yeah, cars and clothes.
So there's this guy named Quan, right? Everyone should know him. If you don't know him, he is a car driver.
Now you know, Christian.
If you don't know him, his name is Quan. He is a car person, YouTuber person.
Car enthusiast,
but realistically, he got big on Instagram because he had nice clothes, nice change, nice cars, and he was young. Everybody wants to be the young, rich person with everything, but no one really understands that most of the people that are young and rich, they didn't care about the other people that were in the world. They were doing them. They were focusing on how to make their money. They were focusing on how to make themselves better or better attractive or better looking. Or make more money or get the nice cars. They were focused on what they were doing. So now that they're in the spotlight, mainly because they did what they needed to do. Was that a stomach or something?
No, it was
I heard that too.
No, it was this rubbing against the mic.
They did what they wanted to do. And now, like, mainly most of the time, there's going to be someone that's working and there's going to be someone that's not. The person that's working is going to build themselves up and start doing what they want to do. They're going to get the nice car, the nice clothes, the nice house, whatever the case may be, because they knew I needed to work. Now, the person that's just watching that person grow, they're seeing this person do this, 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 and this, but they're not realizing is they're doing everything in the back end. You're not seeing this person stay up super, super duper late making YouTube videos. You're not seeing this person working 3 to 4 jobs so they can get the income to get that Hellcat. You're not seeing any of that stuff. You just see the results. You just see the Hellcat. You just see the clothes, the nice car, the money. You're not seeing what the people are actually doing with
that.
The
process.
Yeah, the process. The process is the main thing. I got Trust Your Journey tatted on my hand. The reason why I got that tatted on my hand is because I really realized that everything that I do or everything that I have done has just gotten better. I used to work at Wendy's. Now I'm working at a I used to work at a pretty good warehouse that was making a lot more money than I used to. But I used that money wrongfully and I lost that job. I mean, I quit because I was moving here, but regardless, I lost that money because I wasn't doing right by that money. If I was keeping all that money and saving and doing everything that I was supposed to do, then I'd probably be a little better. I'd probably have a new car already. I'd probably have a new phone already. But because I didn't do what I needed to do with that money, I'm the same person watching everybody else.
Yeah, it definitely is a big thing that you always just want to be like somebody else. And it's just like, okay, now as I used to be like that. I think everyone really used to be like that, especially when
everybody
you're a kid.
Has a role model,
especially when you're a kid. But now it's like, well, our role model should be God. Our role model should be Jesus. That's what he came for. He came to show us how we're supposed to live our life. We're supposed to be generous. We're supposed to be nice. We're supposed to be loving. We're supposed to be kind. We're supposed to be all those things. But now that rolling into the next part of the podcast, I guess I would say where I struggle on being disciplined is it definitely comes to, I would say most of the time, I'm definitely a disciplined person, but sometimes I mess up a lot. Me personally is like whenever it comes to business stuff, right? I'll work on stuff for our business and like make clothes and all types of stuff. But it's like, it's kind of like only when I'm feeling like it. Like not.
No,
like,
I get that too.
It's not like.
It's like when I get a spark of creativity, yeah, I'm like, all right, let me start working.
It's only when I'm feeling like it. And typically I just feel like it every day, but it's like, okay, I don't want it to be only when I'm feeling like it. Even if I don't want to do it right now, it's like, I need to get up and do it. I need to get up and go. And it also with the, and it's funny because I say something about the gym, but sometimes the gym, there's like a day I'll miss or something just because I'm like, man, like, I am tired, man. I did this today, this, this, and this. And it's always like,
it's always that one day too.
It's like me, 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 me. And I feel like this, 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 this. And like, I can skip one day. No, I shouldn't skip one day just because this, this, and this happens. Cause like in the future, right? If I'm just like a whole bunch of stuff happens to me and then my wife is like sick or something, I get home and then I'm just like, man, I really don't feel like dealing with you being sick right now.
Or imagine this, right? You didn't work out that one day. It snowball effects. You stop working out. You have a wife and kids, you get fat, your baby gets pushed into the street. Are you going to be able to run after him?
Exactly. So it's just like a lot of it funnels effects into a lot of things.
I say that you said
mine is like I guess gym. Yeah. I guess I would so say so I'd say my gym and the business.
Yeah, gym and the business. I say my discipline is actually saying or doing what I said I'm going to say or
doing what you said.
Doing what I
you said, said you were going
to
do.
I said I'm going to do. Sometimes I'll be like, "All right, I'm going to stop smoking." And then I never do I'll stop for a day and then be like, man, I just don't like know how to live without it. I say that being a man, you have to be able to trust yourself. If you don't be able to trust yourself, then you. So basically, when people have doubts within themselves, that's because they don't trust themselves. That's because they know for a fact that they've told themselves, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. And they still do it. If you don't trust yourself, that means you're not going to have the ability to do anything. Like,
how are you going to lead a family if you can't trust your own decisions?
Yeah, if you can't trust your own decisions, I'm not going to say I'm a bad decision maker. Most of the time when it's to myself and I don't really have a lot of people in my mind and I'm doing things by myself, most of the time I make the right decision. But it's hard when you have multiple people in your ear, when you know that you want to do something, but you know you shouldn't do it. It's hard. It's hard to really focus on yourself and know, okay, I'm going to stop drinking today. Knowing dang well you just had the worst day of your life and the only thing that you want to do is drink. It's hard. It really is. So I say my main thing is actually doing what I say I'm going to do. If I say it, I'd say, okay, yeah, we're going to go work on clothes today. But I did this, and this, and this. And even though I should be working on clothes right now. And I'll do it later.
Yeah. Things like that. That's a big one. That's a big one. And then I guess the gym, like, because typically I go every day, but besides Fridays and Sundays. But it's just like he said, it's just that, yeah, I'll do it later. And then later comes around, I'm like, it's already too late. I'll just go in the morning.
Yeah.
I'll just work out twice tomorrow.
Never works out twice.
And then I only work out once. And then I just completely missed an arm workout. That's literally what happens. And he's definitely so right about that. Because it's just like, dang. Like, all I have to do is just get up at that one time. And it's just like, you should just get up and go. Like,
and it beat times where it's like, okay, say I got to do laundry. I have a big old load of laundry to do this weekend. I said I'm going to get up Saturday and do the laundry. I wake up. My dog poops on the floor. I'm mad. I pick up the poop. Whatever, I take him out. I completely forget about doing my laundry the entire day. I might remember, hey, about 4 o'clock, 4 p.m., hey, I got to do my laundry. Still don't do it. Now, that next Monday, I have no clothes. It's always going to be a consequence of something that you do. It's either you're going to have the consequence of being disciplined, which is usually hard work and pain, or you have the consequence of being lazy, which is usually more pain. It's really not even hard work. It's just straight pain.
Literally. So now we're going to move on into our next section, which is our God talk. And the scripture of the day, or the scripture for reference, is Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the world, but he transformed by the renewal of your mind. And the way I kind of interpret that is like the way if you continue to be disciplined throughout Jesus Christ, your mind will be transformed in a disciplined level that you wouldn't even think of. Because if we really think about it, who was the most disciplined person?
Jesus.
Like, there is no ifs, ands, and buts about him being the most disciplined person in the world. Literally, dude got whipped and beat and put a crown of thorns on his head, and he still did everything right. Like, it's like,
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.
Like, come on. Like, he still didn't commit any type of sin, no anger, no nothing. Like, it's just crazy to think about that type of stuff. And we fail discipline over the littlest things.
And I'm not gonna eat cake today. Birthday comes on.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's just a birthday. Let me eat that. It's just a birthday.
How am I not gonna eat birthday cake? It's on a birthday.
So it's like, If you can put your discipline foundation as Jesus Christ, then it's going to change your level of discipline in your relationships, in your daily life. If you have a business, it's going to change your discipline in your business and all of those things.
Yeah. So with that being said, I feel that the only really things that you can do to fix certain things, and this is one thing I'd like to say, is sometimes, like, I enjoy smoking. I do. I like the feeling. I like the taste. I like rolling up. I like the culture. I like everything about it. I actually enjoy doing it. I feel like most people, this is just a personal preference or a personal opinion, but I feel like most people that drink, they don't actually like to do it. You know, they're out of their mind. They drink too much. They do certain things. If I smoke too much weed, the most I'm going to do is eat too much food and go to sleep. So, but I enjoy doing those things. If those things that you do enjoy and you try your best to sacrifice and you deal with whatever consequences you got to deal with, God will bring whatever you want to you. Now, obviously, you're not going to have just $1 million sitting on your front.
Yeah, I'm going to stop smoking weed, $1 million right there. Yeah.
I guarantee I'll stop smoking if I see $1 million on my thing and all. Man, what? But I'd say that offering, you know, little insights like embodying the mindset through discipline, such as regular Bible study, aligning personal goals with God and faith and values, and developing the actual personal growth. You got to develop personal growth. You got to do things. It could be one step. Like is Jason a pastor?
Jason is a pastor.
So yeah, our pastor Jason, he kind of gave we have these things called Tuesday Night Prayers, where we go, we ask a question, we learn about a Bible person, and then we go into groups and questions, and we just speak with each other. That's young adults. That's not young. It's Tuesday Night Prayer.
Tuesday Night Prayer? Is it?
When we go into groups and we speak? Young adults does the same thing. No.
Tuesday Night Prayer, we go into groups and pray.
No, we also talked. Whatever. Regardless, we basically get into a group of like-minded people, and we basically speak about our problems to, you know, get stuff off our chests. And, well, now you messed me up. I completely forgot why I even brought that up. But no, regardless, it allows you to, one, what I'm going to say is find a church, find a person that's close to a church, find someone that is like-minded with God. And see, me as a person, I never really understood God. I never really understood the Bible. I had a lot of hate, anger, and frustration towards it. But Frederick here, he kind of read the Bible front and back. He knew certain questions that I was asking. And even out of frustration and anger, he didn't go, "Oh, you dummy, this is this," or "You stupid, this is this." He basically just went straight to the Bible. I used to get mad and be like, "Why? If God loves us and God knows our heart and God knows I'm a good person, why does he allow suffering?" Bible scripture, Bible study, something that God says, something that Jesus says, something that Jesus dealt with. If you focus on the Bible, focus on God, develop your personal growth with every step. Oh, so that's what I was saying. Pastor Jason, during Tuesday night prayer, it was Tuesday, he basically said that you have to be able to take off that one step. Some people sin their entire life. They cuss, they smoke, they drink, they fuck. They have sex. They have sex out of wedlock. There's so many things that they do. People sin their entire life. How hard would it be to try to completely stop every single sin that you do? It's going to be super hard. So you got to take one step. Take that one step. If it's drinking, take that one step. Say, "I'm not going to drink today. I might be able to drink tomorrow. I'm just not going to drink today. Let's see if I can do a whole day without drinking. A whole day without smoking." Some people are addicted to pornography. How about we say we're not going to do a couple of days of corn? Just take that one step. Take that leap, and you will sacrifice certain things, and God will reward you for your sacrifices.
Yeah, that goes into our next thing that we're going to talk about, is practicing tips. So off of basically what he said is set boundaries. Set boundaries for yourself that can keep you from being, that can keep you to be disciplined. Like
if you know you smoke, because I'm a big smoker, I try to help people out that smoke. Just do one day. Be like, "All right, on Monday, not going to smoke. On Tuesday, if I smoke, I'm not going to smoke Wednesday. If I don't smoke Tuesday, I might smoke Wednesday." Just take one day. See how you feel for that one day.
And pray to God about what he wants you to do about
exactly.
Because he knows the best way how he can get you to stop. So pray to God, and then it will come into your mind. Because
also,
don't allow
yourself to be tempted. Like, I did one day on Monday, and the next day, my hairstylist offered me some weed. I could have easily told her, "Hey, not smoking right now." But because I actually enjoyed doing it and I wanted to do it, I took myself, and I'm like, "Oh, this is my chance to," like, truthfully, in my head, I didn't think about it at the time, but now that I'm thinking about it, in my head's like, "Oh, if I do this right now, then that means I could continuously do it." It's like, in my head, I'm like, "Okay, I've stopped. But if I do it now, I could keep doing it." It's like a... it's a sedative. It's a temptation. Every single time that you try to stop something, a temptation is going to happen. It's going to happen. There's not going to be I'm going to stop drinking, and then you never come across an alcoholic beverage again. It's not going to happen.
So if you set those boundaries, then you can set up a defense mechanism of when you get tempted. So if you get tempted about something, and if you set a boundary, let's say like, you're by yourself at 6 o'clock at night. I mean, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're just by yourself. That's where a lot of people would lust. They would scroll and find something to lust on. But if you set your phone to where you can't do anything at 6 o'clock, and you know that you do stuff at 6 o'clock because it's the only time you're alone, then if you set something on your phone to where, I can't search stuff up at 6 o'clock.
Like, this is a big help for people that are actually addicted to corn. And I mean, like, severely addicted. Have one of your friends, family members. I know it's hard to, you know, to show or tell somebody, hey, I'm addicted to corn. I know it's hard. Some people are addicted to lusting. It's easy for you to say, I like to have sex. Just go to your friend and be like, hey, man, it's hard for me to stop. I'm constantly looking at this stuff. On iPhones, you could put a parental thing on there that says that you can't look at any of those sites. Your friend could put the passcode on it, so you don't even know the passcode. So now you have that blockage or that boundary that, okay, my phone, I can't even do anything on my phone. So there is no, let me go look this up. As soon as you look this up, block, can't literally do it.
So if you know yourself, you know those things, then obviously, like I said, continue to pray about it. But you can set up boundaries so that if you do get tempted, that boundary is still there to block that temptation. Mm-hmm. And then we also have embrace small wins. If you win one time, make it a big deal. Make it a big deal if you win one time.
Even if you don't smoke, drink, watch corn one day. You did one day.
Thank God.
One full day.
You did one day. When you do it every day, embrace the little things.
If you can do it one day, that means you could do it every day.
Embrace the little things. The little things are what matter. That's how you can, because you'll feel good about yourself. Like, wow, thank God, we really did that. We really did it, God. I thought I couldn't do it, but we did it.
The best gratification is after doing a whole bunch of hard work.
Yeah, literally. It's like, whenever you, it's like,
beating that boss that you've been fighting for 2 weeks. As soon as you beat it, you're the most happy that you've ever been in your life.
Yeah, it's euphoria. It's the best thing in the world. So our challenge this week is,
the last two challenges was like read the Bible and stuff like that. So we can't say read the Bible.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, read the Bible is always on there. But yeah, the challenge of this week is to identify something that you need to change and that you need to be disciplined.
And let's just do one day.
And do one day. And I challenge the tryhards 1 week. That one thing that you just,
as soon as I say this, I'm gonna say one sentence. What is the one thing that you need to give up?
Boom, I already know what popped in your head. I already know it. It's already
the first thing that popped in your head is the exact thing that you need to do it on. It's the first thing.
It's literally that. And then whenever you do it, and whenever you do have that small win, post it on your social media.
Enjoy yourself.
Or just, yeah, enjoy yourself.
Make sure that, obviously don't go back to the same thing that you did do to celebrate. But, you know, say you stop smoking for a day. How about we go get yourself
go get you a pineapple and a sun kiwi.
Yeah, go get you a nice meal. Take yourself out. Go buy something that you always wanted to buy. Like, one thing that we, inside the challenge and inside just a insight, you have to be able to celebrate yourself. A lot of people are always constantly helping other people, but they never help themselves. Like, I'm one of those people. I'm always constantly thinking about other people. But when it comes down to myself, every time that I look up, I'm down bad. I'm not saying completely and utterly only focus on yourself, because God says not to be selfish. What I'm saying is, you can't help anybody if you can't help yourself. You can't give anybody money if you have zero. You can't give anybody food if you ain't got none. So build yourself up, take that one step, celebrate that one step, and, you know, grow within that one step.
Yeah. So with all of that being said, make sure you do those challenges. We want to thank you for listening today. It was a great talk. And for next week's topic, we're going to be talking something along the lines of living with integrity and strength for men. And that will be our last episode on Foundations of Men.
Foundations of Faith and Manhood.
Foundations of Faith and Manhood. My bad.
Again, thank y'all for listening. And we appreciate it so much. Even if it's two viewers, even if it's one viewer. Even if you're listening to this 10 to 20 to 30 years after we've posted it, we appreciate it. We honestly, even if we didn't make a dime off this podcast, we kind of honestly just want to bring men to make them better men. Honestly, it's hard to like find people that think like us. Even though we you know, there's a lot of people that say they do or whatever the case may be. Honestly, I have not felt one person that kind of thinks like me. And it's going to be hard to. But if you go to a church, find like-minded people, you're going to be able, if you pray about it and you ask God to help you find people that are like-minded, there are going to be people that come.
All right. We're out.
AWG.